is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, What to Do When Men Lie About You. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Tennessee Ernie Ford with a couple of outstanding songs, When God Dips His Love in My Heart and Sweet Hour of Prayer, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
When God dips his pen of love in my heart, writes my soul a message he wants me to know. His Spirit all divine fills this sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart.
Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. How I got salvation when he made me whole. I'm a good man, such love as Jesus did impart. Cause it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my sinful soul on fire.
Hallelujah.
When God dips his love in my heart.
And although the way seems dreary, dark and cold, and trouble surrounds me and keeps me from my goal, I go to God in prayer. I know I'll find him there. He whispers sweet peace to my soul.
I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul.
How he got salvation when he made me whole. Found a good life, such love as Jesus did impart. Cause it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my sinful soul on fire.
When God dips his love in my heart.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief.
and wait for thee, sweetheart of prayer.
I mean, who would believe a guy like Tex Morris, who thinks the earth is flat and it's not a circle? He's just a dummy scientifically. But I've never said that Christopher Columbus is wrong. In fact, as long as I can remember, I was probably 3 years old when somebody told me the earth is round, and I believed them. I believe them because I look up in the sky and everything is round. All the planets, the moon, the sun, they're all round. Well, I figured if they're round, why shouldn't the earth be round? Then when they told me there's millions and millions of planets, I decided, well, they're all round, approximately, except, you know, for asteroids and things like that. So the earth must be round. Then when astronauts, starting in the 60s, went up into space, they looked down and they saw a round earth. I believe the earth was round. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because in the book of Proverbs, listen to this now, folks. Listen to this. In the book of Proverbs, it says, God looks down upon the circle of the earth. Ooh. Let's say Christopher Columbus was wrong. Let's say the astronauts are all wrong. Can God be wrong? He wrote it in his book. It's in Proverbs. God looks down upon the circle of the earth. He doesn't look down on the square. So I believe in God. Now, if a guy can tell me why God said that and yet the earth is square, well, I'll listen to him. I doubt if I could, I'd believe him. He may be right in 99% of everything he says, but I wouldn't believe that. So this guy who wrote this article in Patheos is wrong about me. Now, why would he tell people Tex Morris believes the earth is flat? He wants to discredit me and my ministry. He wants people to think that I'm stupid. So why should you believe anything he says about Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Why should you believe anything he says about the cross? Why should you believe when he tells you that God loves you, that God considers you his friend? Why should you believe him? He believes in the earth is flat. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing he says is that I began my writing career. Now, this is sort of true. You know, I began my writing career when I was still in the Air Force. And I wrote for fun on the side. You know, the Air Force was sort of boring. I could do my job in 20 hours a week. So, you know, I wrote on the side a little bit. He says his writing career began in a very inauspicious way with fluff about picking pet names and preparing for high-tech careers in industries that I doubt he actually understood. He is as dumb as a box of limp hammers. Okay. He says that I wrote about pet names and about preparing for high-tech careers in industries that he doubts that I actually understood. Now, folks, I taught aerospace history. Now, I don't know what this guy, what he understands about science, but let me just say that a person who teaches aerospace history and has been in the Air Force for 20 years and has been assigned to civil engineering squadrons and to missile warning sites and communications electronics units around the world, I think he knows a little bit about science, and that's me, Tex Morris. So when I wrote a series of books, which I did, about preparing for high-tech careers, they were very useful, and they were published by the world's top publishers. I want you to understand that. John Wiley Press, Simon & Schuster, two of the world's top publishers published my books. I wrote a book, well, all kinds of books. I wrote a book, I wrote the very first book in the whole world called Careers with Robots. And let me tell you, that was done by Facts on File Publications. They're the ones that publish for libraries. And they have scientists that look over the books to make sure that they're okay before they publish them. I wrote a book called High Tech Careers. I wrote a book called Careers in Computers. This guy says he doubts that I actually understood those subjects. Hey, I understood them enough to write entire books on them. None of them sold very well, he said. None of my books, early books, sold well. Well, now let's just see. I wrote these books. And by the way, I did write the book on pet. And I wrote, it was called A Perfect Name for Your Pet. And I love that little book. It's still one of my favorite books, A Perfect Name for Your Pet. I write all kinds of books. My mind is very flexible. And, you know, every time I look at something, I'm interested in it. You know, if it's on lasers, I've written on lasers before. I'm sort of interested in that. It was about space vehicles. I'm sort of interested in that. In any case, he says that none of them sold very well. But folks, I wrote a book called The Armed Forces Test, Preparing for the Armed Forces Test. You know, these big old test books in the libraries and such. I wrote one of those. If you want to join the armed forces, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, you know, the Marines, the Coast Guard, and so forth, you have to take a test. It's called the ASVAB test. And many times you'll want to prepare for it, study for it. My book will help you to study. And the book is like 600 pages. I forget some, you know, it's a huge book. And it covers everything from math to science to English comprehension. Everything is in this book. And it's a bestseller book. In fact, that book, I'm not trying to brag, but this guy did say none of them sold very well. So I want you to understand the truth. My ASVAB book, Preparing for the Armed Forces Test, has sold over 1 million copies. 1 million copies. It's still selling today. I think it's in its 16th edition. And Air Force recruiting offices recommend it. And Air Force officers from general on down recommend it. In fact, General Robinson Reisner wrote the foreword to one of my books on the ASVAB. It looks like this guy didn't know what books I wrote. He doesn't know a thing about what I've done. He's trying to prove to people that Tex Mars is a stupid guy. He believes the earth is flat. And he wrote these books on pet names. And he doesn't even understand high-tech careers. He doesn't know what he's talking about. By the way, I wrote the book called You and the Armed Forces. It's a career book telling people what they could expect out of joining the armed forces. And that was a bestseller, by the way. And I wrote the first book on personal robots ever written in the entire world, called The Personal Robot Book. And that book, my friends, was a main selection. My book, The Personal Robot Book, was a main selection of the Computer Book Club and the Electronics Book Club. Now, the people who pick those books for those clubs, they make sure they're correct. Think about that. The Personal Robot. In fact, recently I wrote another book called Robot Alchemy, all about robots. But he says that none of my books sold very well. Really? The Electronic Book Club, the Computer Book Club, over 1 million copies of my ASVAB book, none of them sold well? Well, this guy, he's just a liar. That's why I don't want to give you his name. I don't want to embarrass him. But I get letters like this. I get people who write stuff like this all the time. They know nothing of me. Nothing. He says, but Tex Mars, I lucked out, he says, because in 1987, I wrote a book called Rush to Armageddon. That was the magic moment in his career. He says, there's always this guy, I'm quoting him, there's always this magical moment in the career of a serial grifter. I'm a serial grifter. When he finally reaches the audience, he was born to fleece. I've been born to fleece people. This is the exact moment that a liar for Jesus finds his marks. And 1987 was Texas' big moment. Ooh. That's when I finally quit writing all these little books that I never made any money from, that didn't sell any copies, you know. And I finally quit the pet names books, and I lucked out with Rush to Armageddon. That was my magic moment when my books became bestsellers. Now, here's the thing about that, folks. Rush to Armageddon was not a big bestseller. That wasn't the first big Christian bestseller. My first Christian bestseller was Dark Secrets of the New Age, that this guy doesn't even mention. I bet he doesn't mention it because he never read it. It was a number one bestseller. And then I wrote Mystery Mark of the New Age. That was a number one Christian bestseller around the world. And then I wrote Ravaged by the New Age, and that was a number one Christian bestseller around the world. I guess that was my magic moment. I don't call it magic. I call it supernatural. Because God helps me sell my books. And he did. So he says that in these books, I write about Satan. And I try to scare people. So I'm an architect of the satanic panic. Okay. He says, you know, that I'm afraid of anything perceived as witchcraft. And I believe in these anti-Christian forces that are out there. And I believe that true Christians have to fight this witchcraft to the death. Fight them to the death. You see, I don't believe that because Christians don't die. You don't fight anybody to the death. They die, but you don't die. You're going to live forever as a Christian. But let's just take the guy what he says. He says, my fears, though, of the New Age movement and the occult world had, quote, no basis in reality. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the occult. Go out and play with your Ouija boards. Go out and see a witch that'll tell you the future. Go to some satanic witchcraft meeting. Yeah, go out there. Don't worry about it. You don't need to be fearful. There's no basis in reality. That's what he says. And that's the third lie he's told about me. There is a basis in reality, my friends. Stay away from this stuff. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Read the book of Deuteronomy. What does it say? It says, don't go to people who say they can tell you the future. Don't go to those people who can, you know, give you all these magical solutions. Go to God. He'll tell you your future. Go to God. But this guy says, you don't have to worry about these things. You don't have to worry about any Satan. But let me tell you, friends, you absolutely do. Now, you don't have to worry about him, but know about him. Because it's our job to keep people, to keep human beings from falling prey to Satan, the fallen angel. And if you care about Jesus Christ and his kingdom, you will. And some of them you'll rescue by the very, you know, hem of their garment. But this makes me want to cry because people are reading this saying, oh, there's no problem. I can be in the occult world. I can read these satanic books. No, friends. No, please don't. Then he says in lie number four, he says, Tex Mars wrote a couple more books, which were of the same conspiracy theories about the New Age and wild speculation. Were more of the same conspiracy theories about the New Age, my couple more books. I think it's like 50 or 60, but he says it's a couple more. And you know about my books. If you've read my, look, I wrote Big Sister is Watching You, an expose of Hillary Clinton. I think I was maybe the first or the second in the world to write a book exposing Hillary Clinton. Big Sister is Watching You. That's Is that a conspiracy book? Codex Magica, about Illuminati hand signs. I wrote that book. Mysterious Monuments, about the mysterious monuments and architecture going around the globe. He says, I made up everything out of whole cloth. That means there's no truth to those books. Well, Mysterious Monuments is 620 pages long. Codex Magica is over 600 pages long. And by the way, both those books were bestsellers. Now, number five. He says, Tex Mars plunged further and further into the shadowy right-wing world. I plunged further into it. He says, but the guy's popularity began to slow. Now, listen to this. My popularity began to slow when I went full throttle reptilian conspiracy on my fans. So he's, according to him, I began to present this conspiracy of the reptile people, the reptilians. You know, the lizard people? Remember that TV series where they look like normal people, lovely people, but then they pulled off their skin and they were actually lizard people under the skin? I'm sorry, I'm beginning to smile here. And they were reptiles. They were really reptiles. They weren't people. So he says, I went full throttle reptilian conspiracy on his fans. Now, I can't remember my doing that. Can you? I've never talked about people being reptiles, but, you know, come to think about it, there might be a few reptilians out there. Now, maybe I'm starting a conspiracy theory right now. It seems that the Bible itself, back in Genesis, talks about the devil being a serpent. And because of his rebellion against God and how he deceived Adam and Eve, God said, from now on, you're going to crawl on your belly in the dust like a serpent. Maybe there are serpent people. Maybe there are people that believe in the serpents. You know, I was at a prophecy conference several years back, and a man came up to me and he says, Tex Mars, I don't like what you're saying about the Jews. I'm a Jew, and I don't appreciate what you're saying about us. And I says, well, what do I say that you don't like? Well, you know, you blah, 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 blah. I said, well, what do you say about the Jews? What do you think? Are they a special people? Do you think they're the chosen of God? He says, yes, I do. And I said, well, tell me about how the Jews, you know, came to be Jews. You know, I thought he'd tell me about Abraham and so forth.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.